Welcome, I'm Ryan Hicks, and this is Modern Business, the podcast to learn from franchise business leaders and explore new business technology. Our community is about sharing knowledge and tools that help us achieve our goals in business and beyond. Thanks for being here, and welcome to Modern Business. This podcast and this summer tour would not be possible without our sponsors, so please check them out, go to their websites, listen to their value propositions, and consider doing business with them. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey guys, I'm Zach Fishman.
And I'm Ryan Hicks.
And if there's one thing we've learned through the many episodes of Modern Business, franchisors really struggle with keeping their franchisees on brand.
As franchise lifers, Zach and I know franchisors have little margin for error when it comes to franchise relations.
And when it comes to marketing, franchisees have been known to go rogue.
Unfortunately, this not only leaves a poor impression at the local level, but it can harm the whole brand.
Fear not, franchise fam. Ryan and I are so excited to introduce this week's sponsor, Scorpion, a marketing company that helps franchises have full control and consistency with their brand.
Scorpion is an all-in-one marketing partner capable of handling everything your franchise needs, from your branding and website to your search engine optimization, online reputation, and paid advertising.
Listen, you don't have to take our word for it. Entrepreneur Magazine named Scorpion the number one franchise marketing company.
To learn more, visit scorpion.co/mb. That's scorpion.co/mb.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Modern Business. This is your guest host with the most, Justin Mink, Senior Vice President of Sales for Franchise Brands at Scorpion Internet Marketing. And I am super thrilled and excited to have today's guest, Paul Lindberg, the CEO of Gotcha Covered. Paul, I'm going to make you blush here for a moment with a little personal intro. I talked to probably hundreds of franchisors over the course of a year. Paul's one of the real good guys in the industry, and I admire Paul a lot for his focus, his ethical way of doing business, and his acumen and intelligence. So, really thrilled to have you on the show today, Paul, and excited to learn more about you and to share the story of Paul Lindberg and Gotcha Covered with our audience.
Well, thanks, Justin. It is a true pleasure to be here. And if you need more time to talk about accolades about me, I mean, feel free. We have the time.
we could spend all day just
that's right. Yeah. Well, also, I'll bring myself down a peg too, Justin. I'm not the CEO. The founder of our company, Vic Yosh, is our CEO. I am the president. I am running the company. He is in an advisory and a franchise development role. So I'm very familiar with what we're doing, and I'm in charge of the direction of the company for sure. And I'm looking forward to chatting with you about all kinds of exciting topics, not just I Gotcha Covered commercial here.
Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, first and foremost, I think your congratulations are in order. Gotcha Covered just reached an incredible milestone and what is an important inflection point in the evolution of any franchise business, and that is opening your 100th location. So huge kudos there.
Yeah, thank you. We've had our eye on the prize for a while now, and it's been rewarding to get here finally, Justin. But as rewarding as the quantity of that number is, more important to me is the quality of the 100 that we have in our system. One of the things, I'm really not going to turn this into a Gotcha Covered commercial because that's going to be boring for everybody. But I do want to tell you that one of the things we're most proud about at Gotcha Covered is our online reputation. Across now more than 100 franchise owners, we do have a 4.9 out of 5-star reputation with our customers. And we know that's exceptional. And we think it has to do with, again, the quality of the people in our system. First and foremost, really, we have great people who have done some really cool things in their lives, finally want a chance for business ownership, and they come in, they become dedicated to the customer, they follow the process, they accept the support and training that we offer, and then just remain focused on the customer's experience, and that's what's enabled us to get 200 with such an amazing reputation with our customers. So yeah, thank you for your kudos. I really we're super pleased to be in a very select group of franchisors now.
Well, that's That's a testament to the brand and of course the quality of the franchise partners who are out there working with the end customer every day. But let's talk about, you know, I know you mentioned, I appreciate you mentioned the fact that you don't want it to be a commercial for Gotcha Covered, but I think the audience is interested to hear a little bit about the story of, you know, how did you get to 100? What was the path there? Sort of walk us through. I think you've been there for almost a decade. So walk us through that journey and some of the challenges, some of the ways you overcome those challenges and you know, how you got to that point and where you see the future of the business going as well.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It's been a rocky road. I joined the company. It was a predecessor to Gotcha Covered. And I joined in 2008 just before, and Justin, I mean, literally just before, months before the bottom dropped out of the economy and things went south for almost everybody across the country. So I came on board with very high hopes. They were dashed right away. And it became a matter of not growing the system that I had just joined, but it became about managing the loss. And it was just a tough several years for any company that was in, especially the home decor, home improvement, home business, but for so many other businesses as well. And so what happened is we scaled back to what I would call the best people in our system. And then as we started to grow out of the recession, that became the foundation for Gotcha Covered today. So we acquired another company. So in 2009, Gotcha Covered was reborn from the best, combining the best of two franchise systems. And then that became the model, that became the culture. It was the people that had performed well, that had the fortitude, the business savvy to last through the recession. Although I certainly didn't appreciate it then, I'm glad now that we went through that process, because what we were left with was just the best building blocks to get to where we are today. And so we have always wanted to grow. You know, any franchise system finds economies of scale in size, right? There's more negotiating power. There's more visibility. There's more awareness. All kinds of really good things can happen with a larger franchise system. But I know a lot of systems before us have run into trouble because that has been their focus, and they've grown beyond their means and their culture, and things have changed so quickly and so rapidly, with the intent of just kind of getting up to this the biggest number possible. A lot of times that's just for the ownership to sell, which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But we just wanted to do it another way. We wanted to grow more organically. We never wanted to drop the caliber or drop the bar for the caliber of the candidates that we're working with and the franchise owners that we eventually invited into our system. So again, we're really proud about hitting the number, but also doing it with the quantity of, or the quality of people in our system. Now, in terms of the future, we do expect and we do hope that we can accelerate our growth. Number one, the economy is great. A lot of things we've done internally have set us up for scalability, including technology and marketing, and we'll talk about those, I'm sure, in a little bit. But it's also just, you know, being ready and hitting that 100 mark gives us credibility, not only to candidates, but, you know, our marketing partners and the franchise brokers and consultants in the world, that now they're going to take a second look at us and say, okay, now hitting 100 is a big deal, because now you've proven it. There's no doubt this works. This really works. These guys have it buttoned up, and now we are starting to enter a new phase of growth, and that's something that I have to manage and have to pay attention to. You know, when we were at 40, you know, 10 years ago, now it's a much different scenario than now being at 100, because from 40 to 100, we've built those systems. We've put everything in place. We have the tools for our franchise owners. And now it's just kind of more of that, and scaling in a way that we don't lose our culture and the things that make us unique and special. One of my realizations over in the last couple of years, I had been handling our marketing for many years, and I finally brought on a very talented marketing director who's doing a great job. But it meant that I had to take a step back from not only the tactics of the marketing side of things, but also my relationship with the franchise owners. I had been providing support up until recently, and now I'm not providing that day-to-day support. So I don't have that interaction. I don't have my finger on it like I used to, and I miss the relationship that I have with our franchise owners, but I understand that that's too bad for Paul. My role requires that, and so I'm going to grow in that role and move on while attempting to maintain the culture that we have. That was a long answer, Justin, but I'll pause there, and we can move on to the next question.
Yeah, well that's good stuff. So listen, I want to touch back on one of the things you said at the very outset of the call, because I'm sure a lot of the audience of this podcast are in the franchise community and are franchise executives themselves. And when they heard you mention the fact that you have an average 4.9 customer rating, they probably turned green with envy, salivated, balled their fist up maybe at why they can't replicate such results. So I'm actually interested in exploring that a little further, because I'm sure at least part, if not the majority of the reason, is the quality of the folks in your system who are interfacing with your customers. But that can't be all of it, right? That, you know, every franchisor or the ones that are doing it right are always on the hunt for the best candidates, the ones that are predisposed to be successful. To what do you attribute that level of and degree of consistent customer satisfaction?
Well, I would go back to the people in our system, and one of the reasons that that's such a strength of ours is because Vic, our CEO, as I mentioned earlier, is running franchise development. So he understands us. He understands our needs, our model, our industry. He understands what it takes to be successful. He is a fantastic filter for us in allowing kind of the best of the best to be awarded a franchise. We find that because of our culture and our system, people who are interested in what we have are naturally attracted, and people who aren't interested kind of move away. So there's kind of a self-filtering there. So I do think it's that, but it's also the support and training that we give our franchise owners. I would say that's a very close second. Our director, our VP of franchise relations, so her name is Lori Tobia, and her role is, I tease her about this all the time. I say, Lori, your job description is very simple. All you have to do is make our franchise owners successful. Like, that's it, right? but of course, there's a lot of hats that she has to wear there. She's a former franchise owner of ours, and I think that was my best decision that I've made in my 10 plus years in my position was hiring her, because not only does she have the background to understand the needs of the franchise owners, but as a person, she is extremely dedicated to helping them be successful. We believe that our franchise owners are our customers, and we take that very seriously. Our mindset is all about what can we do to help our franchise owners? What can we do to help our franchise owners? That's what we think about all the time. So over the last many years, we've sort of plugged in all the things that we think they've needed. And we're finally getting to the point where we think that, you know, we really have everything. The last thing we brought to them was a bookkeeping solution. Because a lot of our franchise owners came to us without accounting or bookkeeping experience and didn't really know where to go to get that. So instead of them doing that and spending their time and going through that, we found a company that they can use if they want. They can use whoever they want. But if they don't know anybody, they can come in and they can use the company that we've already vetted for them. And so we have providers that our franchise owners can use at their discretion. We don't mandate a whole lot. We tend to treat our franchise owners like we would want to be treated. One of the things I've enjoyed about my career here at Gotcha Covered is being able to build a company that I would want to work for. And so we have a very loyal staff who are small but mighty, who are dedicated to supporting our franchise owners, who love what they do, and they're very empowered. I can't micromanage. I don't want to. I won't. And so the people that work for us are really self-driven. Most of our corporate staff are business owners. That's another thing that we accidentally discovered along the way is, oh my gosh, yeah, like more than 70% of our staff have owned businesses. And in a, we actually don't have a corporate office. We're a distributed company. We're all virtual. And so having people on staff that are motivated, and we don't have to tell them to get up in the morning. They know what they have to do, and they're really good at it, and they have that spark. That's been a great staff for us. And then from there, there are things like technology and marketing and our vendor partners and all those other things that are part of our system as well that I think we should get into at some point, technology and marketing in particular.
Yeah, and by the way, just to let the audience know, Paul certainly is not blowing smoke. I did a search for Gotcha Covered on Google, and the three DFW area Gotcha Covered are in Google Maps have a 5-star, 4.8, and a 4.5-star rating. So no joke, very well reviewed and obviously providing a great service. And here's a kind of a provocative question for you, Paul, because it's something that actually another interviewee got me thinking about. I think to take a step back, probably did a little bit of a disservice to the audience in not providing a full sort of overview of who Gotcha Covered is and what they do, but it's custom window treatment and consultants essentially. And I know your competitive differentiation in the marketplace is more of a consultative approach relative to a commodity type product. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, I interviewed someone in the restaurant space who said, you know, third-party delivery is such the rage now. But what happens when the economy turns, if and when that happens? And I think there's always that fear when things are going so well that the shoe's going to drop, the other shoe's going to drop. Things are obviously going great right now in the economy. The Fed's doing its best to make sure that's going to continue to trend in the right direction. How do you see, or do you think about a downturn in the economy and where that puts the business? And is there a strategy to sort of mitigate against that risk?
Yeah, that's one of those, you know, air quotes things that keeps me up at night. And because that's going to happen, it's inevitable, right? I mean, we can wish and cross our fingers all we want to, but it's going to happen. We're protected in a couple of different ways. Number one is just our volume power, our buying power. Our industry is very fragmented. There's only a few players in the industry. Most of them are still those independent dealers that don't have nearly the buying power that we have. So because now we've hit 100 and you know, again, another advantage of growing the system is better cost of goods. But right now we have cost of goods as good as anybody in the industry. So from a pricing perspective, we're all set there when the economy turns. One of the things that we deal with, however, is when the economy, depending how far south it goes, our competition can lower their price and you know, try to survive on very, very thin margins. And we're going to have to deal with that for some period of time. But ultimately, those people won't be in business because you can't sustain very long if you're just trying everything you can and dropping your margins to win the business. So we have that staying power, and the larger our brand gets, the more we become that trusted partner where those consumers understand that, hey, the times are tough and the businesses are going to start to go out. I don't want to do business with a company that's not going to be here a year from now, right? I want to be with a company. I want to do business with someone that's going to be able to support me long-term and is going to come back for any warranty work that we may need. So we think that will actually help us, not that we are looking for that by any stretch. Another way that we can mitigate the downturn on the residential side is just through our focus on the commercial side as well. And we have expertise in our corporate office and training and support. And we actually have a department in our corporate office that only works on commercial projects. And I mean large commercial, you know, the 50-story buildings, not the restaurant down the street that really anybody can work. So that, you know, typically the ups and downs of the residential and the commercial don't sync. So if the residential goes down, the commercial will still be strong for a period of time, and then the residential comes back while the commercial is dipping. So they kind of waves that balance each other out and protect our franchise owners.
Got it. So I want to switch gears a little bit and really get into the meat of what this podcast is intended to cover, and that's franchising with a lens through which we view technology. And I know technology plays a large role and probably an increasingly large role in the Gotcha Covered business. So what does your tech platform look like today? How does it leverage and where do you see, how do you see technology continuing to evolve as it plays a role in your business?
Yeah, this is a pretty nerdy topic. I could talk about this for a long, long time.
Let's geek out, man.
Love it. Well, technology, you know, can do a few things. There has to be a purpose for it. It has to help you in some way. We had a technology. Our company, way back, our predecessor company, was founded on technology. It was a unique software tool in our industry. No one had ever seen anything like it. It was built on the sort of the client platform, and so as broadband came around, it just became obsolete and hard to maintain. So I don't know, 5 years ago, we had to sunset that technology, and I started to look around for, all right, what's next? What kind of technology can we bring to bear that will help our franchise owners and give us the best ROI on technology? And after looking around at every existing piece of technology in our industry, in a previous life, I had been in sales, and I had used a CRM called Salesforce. And Salesforce is what I'll call the Mac Daddy of CRMs, but it was too much for us, right? We're a small company. And so just too many bells and whistles, like great, great, sophisticated stuff. But
by the way, not to interrupt, but just a little note about Salesforce. I find that a lot of companies leverage Salesforce in an analogous way to buying a Ferrari to take that Ferrari a mile a day to the grocery store. It's a robust, powerful tool that gets leveraged about a fraction of a percent of what its capabilities are. But I think a lot of companies go with it just because it's to your point, it's the Mac Daddy. But yeah. But please, sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
No, it's sexy. And when I in my previous life, I had used it as a sales person. I was in acquisition sales, and it was deployed from the top down in my organization. And then what we found and what I found is it didn't help me. It helped the person in the corner office who could theoretically see what's going on at different levels and see funnels and very sophisticated ways, but it didn't help me in my day-to-day life. And so I didn't want to use it. And you know what? I didn't use it. And they yelled at me that I should, but I didn't. And my peers were the same way. And so after, I don't know how long it was attempted to deploy and how many millions of dollars were spent, but it was pulled back because it wasn't ultimately useful for the user. So I learned a lot from that experience. So when I looked around at what technology we could bring to bear for our franchise owners, I said, look, this has to start at the user level. This has to help our users on a day-to-day level. Otherwise, there's just no point in it. So we decided that a CRM would be the best kind of technology to deploy to help our franchise owners, primarily from an efficiency perspective, doing more in less time, avoiding mistakes, automating some things. That was the grand vision. And so we looked around. I won't bore you with the story, but we eventually found a platform where we could develop as much as we needed. The off-the-shelf stuff we couldn't get close enough to what we wanted to be. We wanted to have full control over development. So we, again, went with this open source, started stripping away the things we didn't need, adding the things we needed. So it's everything you need, nothing you don't. And so over the last 3-4 years after it's been rolled out, we've just honed it. We've integrated QuickBooks and other things into it. And we just continue to develop that as an efficiency tool now, to the point where we are actually, even today, we are developing a contest with our franchise owners to rename this, because we call it a CRM, but it's not a CRM anymore. Mm-hmm. It was a CRM, but now it is a legitimate full business operation platform. So we're trying to come up with some clever name to describe what it is now, something, you know, cute and sexy, maybe with a little bit of pun in it for our industry or whatever. But so we're kind of where we are now is we're integrated with our vendors now. We're the next phase of our technology is to provide better reporting and business intelligence to our franchise owners so that they can start to zero in and get into the weeds about, okay, here's my most profitable product, here's my best lead source, here's my best vendor. And then they can see that at the individual level. And then we can see that at the corporate level. And we can see macro views of, okay, hey guys, did everybody know that this product from that vendor is our top seller and this other one is our most profitable product? Like, that's really good information to know. And so that's the next phase of development. And we're really pleased. We think that for a franchise of our size, I mean, we've had to put a lot of investment into technology. And for anybody out there who is running a franchise system, I would strongly encourage you to do the same. Do it responsibly, but really at the end of the day, you need something that provides efficiency and is a differentiator for your franchise owners in their day-to-day operations of the company. The sort of the Me Too franchise, I don't think it works so much anymore. With so many franchise systems out there, you really need to have a differentiator. And when it's technology that you've developed or you've customized or something, I think that really will benefit you in the long run.
Well, it's interesting. I think that's really smart too, how you talked about basically translating business intelligence into a language that a franchisee can understand. Because I think what I see happen very often is that technology at the corporate level, at the franchisor level, doesn't really translate its way down into a franchise to the franchisee level in a way that's effective and useful. Just same way that you talked about Salesforce, really all these bells and whistles, what does it actually mean to the end user and where can it add value? And I think, you know, all this sophisticated business intelligence and data that you can aggregate and distill insights from at the corporate level, the real trick where the rubber hits the road is how does that get communicated to the franchisee and then put into action in a way that's meaningful and material.
Absolutely. And I think we've all had that experience where we have, I don't know, some program or piece of software that we just love, we use it all the time, and then they come up with, you know, again, air quote, improvements and enhancements. And now it's so much harder to use, and it's just lost its value to us because of these improvements that aren't improvements. And so, you know, it's a constant message that I have to our development team is keep it simple. Keep it simple. Yeah, it could do all those things, but it's everything you need and nothing you don't. And that's that nothing you don't piece that I think a lot of companies overlook. And again, going back to Salesforce, look, Salesforce is a phenomenal CRM. It really is amazing. I'm so impressed by it, continue to be. But if it's more than you need, if it's complicated, if it's hard to work, then it's not going to be used. And then back at, well, what's the point of all of this? It's got to be helpful. You've got to, as a developer or as a leader, you've got to think about how it can help your franchise owners in their day-to-day lives.
Yeah, and we could have a whole nother conversation about that fine line between technology making life more easy and efficient and also having the power to completely freeze everything if it doesn't work well.
Well said. Yeah. It's a danger for sure.
I mean, I know we both probably remember, I'm probably aging myself a little, but a time when Wi-Fi didn't exist and we got along just fine. And can you imagine today going on high speed for a week?
Right.
We'd all be, you know, locked into a dark room in a fetal position.
sucking your thumbs, right?
So let's talk a little bit about marketing. You know, full disclosure, you guys got you covered as a Scorpion client, but I don't want you to talk about necessarily Scorpion in general. I just want to hear your take on where you see marketing going, because certainly technology is now playing a large role in marketing of a business, and digital is, it's funny because I think the term digital marketing itself is becoming passe, because I think all marketing to some degree is digital today. Whether it's even broadcast, you're putting a website up on an out-of-home message or a radio commercial. So how do you see marketing playing a role in the business, and where does marketing give you guys a competitive edge today?
Yeah, sure. Well, let me give a commercial for Scorpion, because you know your company has been a partner of ours approaching 2 years now, and in my view, being a partner with you was also a great decision that I've made here, and it's been a very positive, constructive relationship that has allowed us to elevate our brand. Scorpion provides great services and great support. And if anybody wants more information, just contact me. I'll be happy to sing the praises of Scorpion. But in general, for us as a franchise, that's a key differentiator in terms of separating us from the independent dealers in our industry. And as someone who is seriously considering opening up a franchise and a Gotcha Covered franchise, and they would certainly look at, well, the value of a brand versus, you know, trying to create a brand in an individual market. And there's so much involved in that. There's so many eyeballs that have to be part of growing a brand. There's so much work that has to be done, and social media and websites and tone and language and images. Like it's an immense challenge for an independent company to develop a good and strong brand. So part of the value of a franchise system is that branding. And at 100 units right now, we're okay with where we are. We'd like to be a household name. That's our eventual goal. When a candidate comes to us and it's in a brand new area where we don't have any franchise owners, they will sometimes do Google searches and say, well, you guys, we didn't see you anywhere online. And I'm like, well, that's because we're not there. but go and search for us where we are. And then you'll start to see how broad we are, how discoverable Gotcha Covered really is. In terms of technology and marketing, it's really interesting. I think as a marketing person, we have a lot of job security because this has not been solved. There are challenges in marketing that continue. I've been in digital marketing since 2000. I'm dating myself and running pay-per-click campaigns way back then through spreadsheets and all that stuff. And to a large extent, a lot has changed, but some of that stuff has really remained the same. And the challenge that I don't see an end to is that attribution challenge, which is, you know, where you know, a consumer sees you in a vehicle wrap and a billboard and a brochure and your sign on your building, and then Facebook, and then, you know, they finally go to your website and call you, and you ask them, well, how'd you hear about us? They say, well, I found you online. Well, they didn't really find you online. They kind of did. So that last point, attribution, I think is as big as a challenge now as it was 20 years ago, as it was probably 50 years ago. And until and unless we get to the point where our offline stuff is tracked as well as our online stuff is, and there's huge sort of privacy concerns there, I don't know if we'll ever get there. Now, we're always going to have to deal with that. So the interesting, the ironic thing to me is that as great as technology is and as far advanced as digital marketing is, we still have that very old problem of attribution.
I think that's, you're spot on. And I, you know, there's a conversation, a debate that's been going on, and I'm kind of an old dog in this industry as well, for well over a decade, being involved in PPC and digital marketing, specifically for franchises, among other industries. And, you know, the prevailing measurement or arbiter of performance was last click attribution. Mm-hmm. So the last way by which a customer got to you, attributing all the credit to that channel, which is completely unrealistic. Unless, you know, maybe it applies if you're in an oh shit business, meaning the toilets spouting like Old Faithful.
Right.
I look up a repair person and I call and I say, get your butt out here because I need this done now. That might be the only type of business category where it applies. But obviously for Gotcha Covered, you're consultative. A large investment required. There's family decisions that need to be made. There's research. There's design considerations that you might be mulling over. And there's a whole nonlinear journey. You're spot on. That's something we wrestle with and have been wrestling with now for probably a decade.
Yeah, and someone in my position and others in that position, it becomes a, honestly, Justin, it's a matter of faith, which is scary as a data-driven person and a marketer who has access to an immense amount of sophisticated data. Then you have to go Amish on the other side of it, and you just have to say, okay, I know this works. I know that if I, you know, if I do door hangers or if I have a vehicle sign, I know it's going to work. I think it's going to work. I have faith it's going to work, but I don't know how to really measure that. It's very rough in the way that you have to measure it, but you have to do it. You can't not do it because we know it works. There's a quote from a marketing pioneer, John Wanamaker, and he says, half the advertising I spend money on is wasted. The trouble is I don't know which half.
Yeah.
And I just love that because we teach this to our new owners in training class. And there's a picture of John in black and white, you know, from 100 years ago. But it's as true then as it is today. And then that's why, you know, this marketing stuff is fun. And it's kind of nerdy to talk about because we have this big challenge and we have to try to figure out, you know, how to address that challenge and what can we do creatively to get better data and support the omni-channel approach. And it's all really fun stuff that tickles the brain. But at the end of the day, you have to spend dollars supporting the digital stuff that is trackable, but you have to have this sort of stuff that's the bottom of the iceberg that's supporting and all that's working together.
Yeah. And it's slowly but surely that attribution problem. It's still there. It exists, but it's starting to become solved for now that there's so much third party data that's being sort of passed between platforms and channels. And nobody reads the terms and conditions. We all just say opt in. You know, there's been some recent documentaries that are pretty eye opening about what we all sort of tacitly have signed away our all of our private information for. In the case of marketing window coverings, I think that's perfectly ethical and fine. In the case of influencing national elections, that's debatable. Putting on my futurist hat, I think that the next wave of tying together different marketing channels is going to be device ID, and understanding where physically you're located and proximity to out of home and other types of advertising and marketing, and then tying that in through online and maybe not as relevant or applicable to a service-based business like yourself, but I think there's a massive disruption coming in the retail space, restaurants and retail, as it relates to attribution and marketing. It's just around the corner.
Yeah. Then that'll be a good thing for those industries that can get that data. And it's just going to get more and more, right? More sophisticated. You have to have and pull in experts. You know, the days of doing this stuff on your own are gone. People are going to specialize in these things. They're going to have to be part of, again, in my role, I'm going to have to rely on others because we don't have this expertise. We don't have the time, and it's so fast moving that reliance on good partners is that much more critical.
So I know you're a busy guy. I don't want to take up too much of the rest of your day, but I want to wrap things up a little bit. Just talk a little bit about you and I think the audience is interested in anyone who's experienced the success that you've quarterbacked or at least been a part of, an influential part of with Gotcha Covered. How would you describe your leadership style?
Well, if you wouldn't mind, Justin, I've got a technology idea I'd like to throw out at you. It's not related to anything we're talking about, but for those on the call that might be interested in that, just something that's kind of come into my consciousness that I think will impact us all, that we need to kind of be, not need to, but it's just interesting to think about. And that is kind of how technology is growing in so many ways with medical technology and 3D printing of organs, gene therapy, things like self-driving cars, things like better imaging technology, robotics, prosthetics. All this is leading to what I think is going to be in maybe my children's lifetime is a significant expansion of lifetimes. I think that people are going to start living to 80, 120, and I hope I don't sound like a crackpot here, but I think that technology is going to really extend people's lifetimes in a way that could interrupt the institutions that we have in place, Social Security and and all those other things that mean that whole I'm going to work from 20 to 60 and then retire, you know, you may have 40 or 50 years of retirement, and have you built up the funds at that point to last to your 100, 110, 120? And are we going to have enough money to pay for all that stuff? So one of the ways that I bring that back to Got You Covered and franchising in general is that I think that franchising has a great opportunity to discuss that with candidates and explain to people that, hey, business ownership is a real path to that. And if it's true that we're going to live longer, then we need to start being proactive and thinking about business ownership and then maybe not retiring when we're 60 or 65. So anyhow, food for thought. Chop that out if you're like, well, that was off the
edge. I find that fascinating. And in fact, I think that's a missed opportunity that, whether it's just business ownership as an opportunity for someone considering a change of career or more specifically for franchising, talking about building equity and building a legacy that can sustain you through probably what will be a much longer life, unless we're all smoking, you know, a pack of Marlboros and drinking a fifth of whiskey a day, which, you know, hey, listen, everybody's got their own, makes their own choices. But if we're all living relatively healthy lifestyles, I think that's a really amazing point and amazing comment. And you know, as a new father with a six-week-old son, I'm now sort of find myself unhealthily obsessed with planning, paying for his college and my retirement. So that's a great point.
Well, congratulations. I did not know that. And yeah, it's not too early to start thinking about that. And your son may live to 100, 120 and maybe more. I mean, just who knows how fast technology is advancing in so many areas. It's not just one, it's so many different areas again, I think that people have to stop thinking about retiring at 60. They're going to be living so much longer. Anyhow, your question was about me and my leadership style. And my view on leadership is, in my role, is to find good people and let them do their thing. And when I mentioned earlier that we kind of, as I've been hiring people over the years, we have very little turnover because I think I've done a good job of finding people that are a good fit culturally for us. And it was only as we were just recently accidentally realized, oh my gosh, all these people were business owners. It wasn't something that we actively looked for early on. Not now, it is absolutely something that I look for now whenever I'm hiring somebody is have you been a business owner? Because I think that's a great background for us. And it says a lot of things about somebody. It's not everything, but it does tell me, number one, that they can work independently and that they're self-driven. They have confidence in themselves and a certain level of competence. Otherwise, you would have never started your own business. So that's one of the things that I look at now. And then I make a point to build a culture internally which matches what I would want to work at. I'm a sort of a laid back competitive person, if that makes sense. And so I believe that I should just let people alone and let them do their job. They know their role. In a small company like ours, everybody wears multiple hats. At some point I put together a mission statement that this kind of talks about our values as a company, but It wasn't like, hey, here's what I think the values should be. It was more like, oh, here's how we operate. Oh yeah, these are our values. It was based on what we've already seen and what we've already built. And again, I think that I think that turnover is very harmful in an organization, especially a small one. It takes people a long time to get up to speed with what we're doing internally. So I really focus on that retention, keeping people happy. And then we happen to be able to build a compensation plan that rewards our people financially for the success that we all share. And they're more general compensation components. It's how are we doing as a company? Not what are you doing in your job that's very specific to your job. It's how are we doing as a company? So we really do feel like we're all in this together. And I think that's really, really worked for us so far.
Who said that quote? There's a quote out there that I never really understood it until I was part of an organization with an incredible culture, and it's culture eats strategy for breakfast every time, or something like that.
I haven't heard it, but love it, love it. That's absolutely true.
And I've been part of organizations that emphasize strategy or emphasize culture, and I've lived it, and I see it, and I think both are important. But I think having that culture is the crux of everything. So we're gonna wrap this up here momentarily, but I this is my third guest hosting stint on the Modern Business Podcast. So I'm thinking my trademark, Paul, might be to end things with the last question. And I'm blatantly stealing a page out of the book of a much more influential guy than myself named Simon Sinek, who's asked, what's your why? So what is your why?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking you're asking about the purpose behind all this. And I think that I have two missions in my professional career. One of them is to help qualified people find the income, the equity, and the lifestyle that they want in their lives. Very, very meaningful to me and to our staff. It's a passion of ours. I think they're certainly higher callings, but that's a pretty high one, and to be a part of. And actually, what I tell people, Justin, is that I get to take credit for their success, and so I just also love that part of it. but to be able to share in that, and to see people that have been downsized and they don't know what the next chapter in their lives are going to be, to now take them and honor the trust that they've placed in us as a franchisor. It's an incredible thing for someone to say, hey, I'm putting my career and I'm investing in you, got you covered. Yeah, so we honor that very deeply. And we try to live up to that trust that they placed in us. And then when we see then, down the road, when they find that success, what more could you want in life than to have the income that you need and want for you and your family, and to have a lifestyle that you want? I mean, what's better than that? So to be a part of that is incredible. And then I'm less connected to our end customers, but I know that it's important. I mean, that's why our franchise owners, that's how they find success. And that is just helping consumers find the window treatments that are right for them. I think that's an honorable thing as well. It's not easy. There's a lot of people out there who don't take the time and don't have the same care and concern for our customers as we do. And so when we can help our end customers, you know, furnish their homes and their businesses with style and beauty and, you know, with functionality, we think that's pretty cool as well. So that's what I really enjoy. That fulfills kind of the emotional side of my work, and I hope that's a good answer to your question.
It's a great answer, and it's actually one of the reasons that I myself find being in the franchise industry and working with a supplier that does touch the franchisees so materially, so gratifying. It's, you know, there's nothing at all wrong for working with a big corporate brand and selling sneakers or soft drinks or anything like that, but the unique component of franchising is that you really see the impact you have on people's lives on a day-to-day basis. And
absolutely.
And it's a gratifying thing. So, well, listen, Paul, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this conversation. I would love to have you back sometime, but congratulations again on that incredible 100 location milestone. I'm sure it's just the beginning, and the best is yet to come for Gotcha Covered.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Justin. It was a pleasure. Always love chatting with you. And thanks for being part of a company that has helped us hit that number. You've been a very important partner of ours, and we value that.
Thank you so much, Paul. Take care. Okay.